Since 1972, when Richard Sturban left singing with Elvis Presley, he has been the bass singer for the legendary band, the Oak Ridge Boys. I'm Brad Parker, staff writer for the Sentinel Record, and the newspaper recently interviewed Sturban about the upcoming concert on September 17th at the Oaklawn Event Center. First off, I kind of had something in common with you. I was watching an interview of you earlier that you grew up kind of singing in church, and I'm an Assembly of God boy myself.
Oh, really? How about that? Okay.
And of course, thinking about this, I was thinking, were you born with that voice? That was the first question I had.
Well, believe it or not, and you'll probably find this hard to believe, the first singing that I ever did was as a boy soprano. And that is a fact. I was in church. I was in Sunday school. And, I had a high voice. You know, that was so long ago that I do not remember the song that I sang, but I can still picture that experience in my mind, you know, me in front of the congregation singing, and even though I was only 6 years old, I felt impressed that day that this is what I was meant to do with my life. You know, I was meant to sing in front of people, really, and I had a high voice until I got into junior high school, and I was actually in seventh grade in junior high school. I was still singing tenor in what we called the Glee Club back then. And over the summer between seventh grade and eighth grade, my voice made a change. And boy, did it make a drastic change. And I went back for the eighth grade year, and the choir teacher could not believe the difference. She put me in the second bass section, and obviously I've been there ever since, certainly.
And I wonder as well, does it change over time? I know, I've read, of course, you guys, the 40th anniversary that you guys are coming into. Does, over time, have you gone lower? Has it not been as low, or what do you think on that?
Well, you know, it varies, you know, I don't know that it's gotten lower, you know. I'll be very honest with you. As I've gotten older, I don't quite sing as good as I used to. I'll be very honest with you, and I'll be the first one to admit that. I still do a pretty good job. I'm not embarrassing myself, but age takes its toll. There's no question about it, and I think that has certainly been the case with me. I think I'm still more than adequate, certainly. But the low notes are not quite there like they used to be when I was a little younger, to be honest with you.
Right. Well, and I just kind of wondered about that over time, how your voice changes and how that
and
works.
I think as you get older, the more it's more important to take care of yourself. You know, it's always important to take care of yourself, but as you get older especially, and I think the most important thing is to get enough rest, you know, especially, and we're coming into a heavy schedule now. You know, the rest of this year we're going to be pretty well slammed, and we're going to have several days in a row where we do shows day after day after day, and it's important to the most important thing, I think, is to get enough rest, get at least 8 and as much as 10 hours sleeping you can, especially for a bass singer. You're taking, right. you got a rest your voice, you know, and there's no doubt about that. So I think that's the most important thing, is to get rest and take care of yourself.
Do you ever have anyone come up to you and try to sing Oompapa Mau Mau to you?
Oh, I get that all the time. There's no question about it. And what I get more often than that is people want to hear me do it. Yeah. Can right. you give me a sample of that Oompapa Mau Mau part? Giddy up, Oompapa Mau Mau. I get that a lot, you know, but well, that comes with the territory, I guess.
Speaking of which, if I don't ask you to do it, I know my editor, Mark, he's going to get me. If I don't ask you, could you sing a little Oompapa Mau Mau?
Giddy up, Oompapa, Oompapa Mau Mau. How's that?
That's it. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
And one thing you can count on, that when we come to town, you are going to hear Elvira.
Yep.
Yes, you are going to hear me do Giddy Up, Oompapa, Oompapa, Mau Mau.
You know, I grew up with an uncle that Absolutely. That song, he loved it. We could take a trip to Branson, Missouri every year. He played it over and over. That song is etched in my brain. I know it is, you know, across the world, really. And the question, you know, I have is, who was Elvira?
Well, you know, it's a great story. If you have some time, this is a great story.
Absolutely.
The song was written by a gentleman named Dallas Frazier, who's our neighbor. And unfortunately, Dallas Frazier just this past week, you know, he had an unfortunate accident, and he's not in the best of health, but he's doing better. Yeah, but he's our neighbor, and he lives in a place called Gallatin, Tennessee, and we all live in a place called Henderson. So we know Dallas pretty well. We really do. And it's an interesting story. He was in a recording session many years ago, and he was driving home with his producer, and he was driving in East Nashville, Tennessee, and he came across a street sign that said Elvira Street, and in fact, it's still there today. There is an Elvira Street in East Nashville, and he saw that street sign, and he pulled over right there by the street sign, and right there on the spot, he wrote, "Elvira, Elvira, my heart's on fire for Elvira." And then he continued to write the giddy up, oh, pop, mouth, mouth part. And as he tells the story, the boom, pop, mouth, mouth part actually mimics or imitates the bumps on the road. Elvira evidently had a lot of potholes, or as they say down here in Tennessee, chug holes, you know. And so the boom, pop, mouth part actually imitates those potholes.
Oh. That's amazing. So I want to know, like, what a day in the life is for touring, and how, of course, that may have changed with the COVID pandemic. And, you know, what is it like now versus then, you know, traveling and touring?
Well, there's no question. It's much more restrictive now. You know, we've got to abide by the protocols. Many places where we go and hotels where we go, you're still required to wear a mask, and we have to be careful. No people are allowed backstage for the most part. We have to social distance. So it has changed the way we tour to a certain extent. But once we get on stage, it really, there's very little difference. You know, we get up there, you know, singing Elvira, or singing Y'all Come Back Saloon, you know. To me, it's just like it was, you know, 40 or 50 years ago. You know, that part of it has not changed. You know, we still look forward to getting up on stage every night. You know, and taking our music to our fans and to our audiences. That has not changed, and I think that's one of the things that that keeps us going.
You have a new album, is that right? Front Porch Singing, that's come out this summer.
Well, you're right. It's been released. It's been out for a couple of months now, and it's called Front Porch Singing. And I think it's important to note that the title is not Front Porch Singing with a G. Singing. There is a difference, you know. And one of the good things that we were able to do during the pandemic was to actually go into the studio and record a new album. You know, we are now being produced by Dave Cobb. And if that name rings a bell, it's probably because Dave Cobb is one of the hottest guys in Nashville right now. He really is. He's very, very much in demand. And so and he said, what I want to do on this project, he said, I want to capture the feeling of four guys just kind of gathering on a front porch and just singing, just harmonizing in a very informal way, a very down-to-earth kind of a way. I want to try to capture that feeling. And I think he was able to do that. You know, Dave Cobb is a master at capturing feelings like that. And he was certainly able to do that with the Oak Ridge Boys. We were able to find some great songs. Some old familiar songs that people will recognize, that people can sing along to. We found some great gospel songs, which I think we need in this day and age. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. But also, Dave Cobb is being as hot as he is. He has a relationship with some of the new, young, hot songwriters in Nashville. And they wrote some brand new country songs, especially for this project as well. So the album is a great mixture. It's a nice balance of old and new songs. And I think, you know, once we got into the studio, the project took a life of its own, you know, and I think we ended up recording an album that is very appropriate for the day and times in which we live. All the songs are very meaningful. All the songs are very inspirational, very healing in nature. And we're really happy with the way it turned out. As I said, it's called Front Porch Singing, and it's pretty much available wherever you download music. You know, I'm sure you have Cracker Barrel restaurants where you are.
Oh, yeah.
And it's also available in Cracker Barrel. And one of the cool things about this project is it's also available in vinyl. You know, vinyl's kind of made a comeback, you know, kind of a renaissance. And a lot of people are interested in vinyl again. So it's available in vinyl as well. So, and when we come to town, we're going to do some of the new music.
Oh,
you know, an Oak Ridge Boys show consists of hits. You know, we feel like people want to hear the hit songs. People want to hear the familiar songs. And we will do a lot of that in our show. I already told you, you're going to hear me do Giddy Up, Boom, Papa, Mau, Mau. Yes, you are. But we're going to include some of these new songs because they're very inspirational in nature. And new music adds new life and new energy into our show and into us, the four of us.
Yep, so, absolutely. And you have a book that's come out. And if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, for about 2 years prior to joining the Oak Ridge Boys, I sang with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet. And for about a year and a half of that time, I sang with Elvis. I was fortunate enough to sing with the King of Rock and Roll. You know, it was a thing where I happened to be in the right place at the right time. And here I was, a young man in my 20s, singing with the biggest star in the world. You know, and not a lot of time has passed by. You know, I look back on that experience. I'm really thankful that I was able to experience that, you know, because it really was a special time in my life. You know, back then, as I said, Elvis was the biggest star in the world. His tour was the biggest tour in the music business. And to be a part of it was very, very exciting. You know, I had some great memories of the times I spent with Elvis, some very fond memories. I got to know Elvis just a little bit. And as I said, it was a special time in my life, you know, and I'm not thankful that I was able to experience it, you know. And something very interesting, you know, happened to me. And this, you mentioned that I have a book out called, and it's called From Elvis to Elvira. And I love the title of the book.
Yes.
I think the title actually kind of says it all. But I think one of the most important parts of the book is the phone call that I received one day from William Lee Golden of the Oak Ridge Boys. Here I was, apparently on top of the world, singing with the King of Rock and Roll, and I got a phone call from William Lee Golden. As you know, he's the guy in our group with the long beard, you know. But back then, he did not have that long beard. He was Mr. GQ back then. but he called me up. He said the bass singer was leaving the Oak Ridge Boys. The Oak Ridge Boys wanted to know if I would be interested in taking the job. So here I was, as I said, singing with Elvis, but I had to make a decision. You know, what do I do? And I have to admit, at the same time, I was a big fan of the Oak Ridge Boys. I love the music that they were making. I really thought that the group had a great deal of potential, and I wanted to be a part of it. Right. So back in 1972, almost 50 years ago now, I made a decision to leave Elvis and to join the Oak Ridge Boys, you know. And back then, a lot of people questioned that decision, you know. How could you leave Elvis and join the Oak Ridge Boys? But, you know, I really believed I was doing the right thing. You know, in my heart, I believed I was doing the right thing, and I followed my heart. And now here, 50 years later, when I look back on what has happened, you know, I think I made a pretty good decision back there. You know, I really do. You know, I never dreamed while I was singing with Elvis that someday I would be in the same Hall of Fame with him. But here I am. You know, if you go into the Country Music Hall of Fame here in Nashville and you walk into the rotunda, you'll see the four faces of the Oak Ridge Boys in bronze on the wall. And just a little ways down on that same wall, you'll see Elvis as well. You know, so I never dreamed back then that I would be in the same Hall of Fame. But here I am today, you know. And not just the Country Music Hall of Fame, but also the gospel music Hall of Fame. You know, the Oak Ridge Boys and Elvis are both in the gospel music Hall of Fame as well. So you never know how things are going to happen in your life. You know, and the last 50 years have been so special. So many great things have happened to not just me, but all four of the Oak Ridge Boys. We've been so blessed. We've had such a great career, you know, and the good Lord has been good to us. There's no doubt about that.
So thank you so much for sharing this with us today and taking the time to speak with us.
Well, thank you, Brad. Thank you for doing this. And, you know, when you promote the fact that the Oak Ridge Boys are coming to town, you help us. And we do not take that lightly. We appreciate it very, very much so. So thank you. Thank you so much for doing it.
All right.